This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu. Happy New Year and welcome to Health Chat. It is a new year indeed, and health, wellness is on the agenda for many of us. Wellness is an important part of our life, in our daily lives, so that instead of just surviving, we should be thriving, according to experts. To understand the significance of wellness, it is important to understand how it is linked to health. According to the World Health Organization, health is defined as being a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease. Several key areas of our lifestyles are considered dimensions of overall wellness. They include exercise, nutrition, and mindfulness. Each one has an impact on our physical and mental health. Experts say exercise and a plant-based diet with less fatty meat can help prevent diseases like hypertension. According to the Mortality and Causes of Death in Namibia 2018 to 2021 report, hypertension accounted for 8.8% of death in 2020. Vitalio Angula has the story from Windhoek, Namibia.
In the hallway of Windhoek Central Hospital, Josephine Ahurus waits in line to collect medication. She suffers from diabetes and hypertension.
10 years back, when I gave birth to my last born, suddenly I was feeling thirsty, lost weight without trying to do anything. And then I went time for time to toilet.
Dr. Sylvia Napunja explains that hypertension can be avoided by eating a balanced diet.
Hypertension in general is what we call a silent killer. It creeps up on patients. You don't necessarily see it coming, or poor dietary choices, yes. Okay. So poor dietary choices in terms of, the fast foods, the fatty foods, and all these things, and not necessarily a plant-based. So rather have a plant-based diet than an animal-based diet.
Dietitians at the local state hospital say that budget constraints can limit the availability of healthy food for patients. In Namibia, where food prices are relatively high, many people cannot afford to eat healthy. According to the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, released in September, 579,000 people in Namibia, almost a quarter of the population, are classified as food insecure. The report attributes Namibia's deteriorating food security to climate and price shocks, economic decline, and unemployment. For VOA News, I'm Vitalio Angula, Windhoek.
Dr. Amina Haruna Bature is the Senior Registrar Neurologist, National Hospital, Abuja, in Nigeria. She explains how to prevent diseases and maintain healthy habits.
Heart attack has signs which some people are not very familiar with, but it's very common. Heart attack is seen in people that usually have hypertension, diabetes, and other diseases. So sometimes it may just present as neck pain, but most commonly it's chest discomfort. The person will feel as if there's a big load or heaviness on the chest. Sometimes it just be neck pain, or the chest pain usually is on the left side of the chest. Sometimes it might just be central. Sometimes it might be on the left. Sometimes on the left shoulder. Sometimes the right shoulder. When you see a person having chest pain, sweating, feeling dizzy, vomiting, feeling like vomiting if he doesn't vomit, it's a sign of heart attack. Ways to prevent a stroke or heart attack is for you to know what conditions you have by regular checkup. People don't know they have hypertension. They don't know they have diabetes. They don't check to see. At least once a year, one should get a full medical checkup. Check your blood pressure, check your sugars, check your lipid, cholesterol level. Also check for other diseases like HIV, hepatitis, and then some kidney diseases. Check your kidney function, your liver function. They are all important. For chronic diseases, depending on which type, but common ones in our environment are hypertension, diabetes, and kidney diseases. So for hypertension, it's still lifestyle modification. DASH diet. That's the diet to stop hypertension. What it encourages is for you to eat more of vegetables and fruits, less of carbohydrates. Protein should not be one that has contains fats in it. That's a lot of fat, like oily fish or chicken that has a lot of fat on it. So you have to avoid it. And then you have to take less of salt. There's modifiable factors that cause chronic disease. There's non-modifiable, like age, genetics, gender. You cannot change those things. But for the modifiable, lifestyle, diet, exercise, stop cigarette smoking, stop alcohol intake, it's very important.
Incidents of health emergencies like heart attacks occur all the time among the communities we live in. We asked some residents of Abuja in Nigeria if they know how to conduct CPR, which is cardiopulmonary resuscitation, which can help save a person's life if the breathing or heart stops. Here is what they have to say.
No, I've not actually done it to maybe a victim. Oh, we are saying grabbing of free air, but I've witnessed it. I've witnessed when it's like a precautionary first aid to revive an individual who is maybe have lost air or who is in a fainting mood, who had fainted.
I learned a while ago, but I don't think I've ever tried doing it on anybody. But I have an idea of how to do CPR.
As we all know, CPR is an emergency situation. It's a first aid technique we use for emergency situations. For example, when somebody has a heart attack or when somebody is almost drowned in water. So there's the hand-on CPR and there's the mouth-to-mouth respiration technique. The hand-on is usually the most effective for those who suffer heart attack because basically the person is losing air, so you need to help them pump blood. And that's hands-on. So that's where you applying pressure on their chests rapidly, as fast as you can, before medical aid is rendered to that person.
For many people, the new year is the right time to reflect and make some adjustments for a happier and healthier life. Exercising more, losing weight, and eating healthier are common goals people set out to achieve when a new year rings in. But experts say focusing on health and well-being should go beyond diet and exercise. I spoke to Dr. Salem Akrilu. She is CEO of First Chiropractic Clinic in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. She discusses the connection between the heart and the brain and how we can improve overall wellness with simple techniques.
A new year is here, and a lot of times people have many new year resolutions. Mm-hmm. As a chiropractor, a wellness expert, and a medical doctor, what would you say we need to focus on to really take care of our wellness overall?
What a beautiful question. To start with, you know, what I would make something forefront for wellness these days is if we can have our heart and brain connected, or what's called heart-brain coherence. By the way, I would say in order to do that, someone has to be very present in their body and very conscious. And in order to do that, again, we need to be very focusing on our breath. Actually, we do say life is between two breaths. That is the beginning. We come in with breathing in, and when we go out, we breathe out. But unfortunately, how often do we think of our breath? We don't, most of the time. Yes. When we forget our breath, it is literally we're forgetting our life.
So breathing is very important in this whole dynamic. And when you talk about being present, what does it mean really? Because we hear that, but how are we present? How do we become present with ourselves?
That is so beautiful. You know, can we take half a minute and breathe. Focus on your breath. Listen to how the air is going through your nose. And feel it in your heart and breathe out. when we really focus, half a minute is so long. We are not going to be rushing.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that gives us that power of being present in our body.
Very interesting. You also talked about the connection between the heart and the brain. Mm. What is that? Is it the biological aspect of it, or is it spiritual? Is it emotional? How is it?
Actually, it is biological and physiological. You know what? They used to tell us that our brain is really governing our body. Mm-hmm. Do you know that our heart to our brain nerve connection is 9 times powerful than the brain down to the heart? That means what really governs our life is really our heart, you know? We never knew that. And by the way, this is a very recent recent finding in physiology. And when a person connects the heart with the brain, which is only with 4 emotions,
okay,
amazing emotions, there is no other way to connect your heart with your brain. The first one is gratitude. With your breath, being grateful and feeling this air going in and out, that connects your heart with your brain. And that is called the heart coherence. That is really directly affecting even your health, to the point where it makes you so powerful, your body can fight disease for about 6 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Gratitude, which is an emotion, as we like to think about, can have a physiological, biological impact, connecting the heart and the brain.
Amazing. You know, there was a study. Sometimes there are some good things came out of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, if you take 3 minutes and breathe and out, breathe and out with gratitude. And if somebody takes your blood sample and take a test of the immune response of the immunoglobulin, you will have a capacity to fight disease for 6 hours with 3 minutes gratitude.
So gratitude, you talk about breathing, but gratitude we like to think about as how you feel. You're grateful for everything you have. You say you are thankful. So is that really what we're talking about?
Yes,
here?
Yes.
Okay.
But to concentrate, like sometimes we can say, oh, I'm grateful about this. I'm grateful.
Yeah.
But not connecting with our body.
Keeping
this breath.
Okay.
And being that grateful, it really makes our body change chemically.
Okay, and the next emotion?
Oh, the next emotion is appreciation. Appreciation is an amazing emotion.
Appreciation will be, because we
think
about...
To appreciate what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, I really appreciate what you do. It makes such an impact for the health of our continent.
Thank you.
That appreciation changes the chemistry for the person who's appreciating and the person who's listening or accepting this appreciation.
Okay.
That is the second one. The third one is really compassion. To have a compassion and, you know, for the world, for the people around us. And the last one will be caring and love. And this is when it says love can make the world go round.
Yes.
It can. So it is that powerful. You know, having this heart-brain coherence makes us healthier, makes us more productive, more focused, and unstressed.
Mm.
You know?
Yes, stress.
Stress is causing most of our illnesses, as you know. So why don't we have a shortcut to deal with stress? To be present for a few minutes. Then we can be productive and we can be cooperative when we work in teams. You know? For this new year, we have a lot of young people in our continent. So how can we make people more productive is to decrease the stress?
Yes.
And in Ethiopia, we are moving into this, trying to create 10 minutes for health, for in like in the labor intense industry, for people can take time to do, be present in their body, warm up and take care of their spine and do their breathing right and start their work.
So small steps, small to prevent steps. Actually,
yes.
Health conditions.
Yes. By the way, stress and being unwell, and there were some studies in America, it is costing America about 12% of the GDP. That is a lot.
I can imagine that.
And, you know, when you have a lot, it might not be much, but if we're going in that direction in our continent, what a waste it would be from what we have,
yes,
to lose that much, because we're not taking care of each other and ourselves, our workforce. So I think prevention as being really the number one thing that we need to focus on. How about coming back and having heart coherence be something we teach from elementary school?
Yes.
And students can be more focused in their school, teachers can be more effective in what they're teaching, and the workforce will be having that as a habit and the way of being a calm, collected, and focused individual.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Mm. And before we wrap, what is there a difference between the heart and brain connection and meditation? Because we hear a lot about meditation, or is it part of that big picture?
You know, meditation is very part of it, part okay. of it. But really, it is the way how our body works. You know, we don't know much about our body. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So if we really tap in, you know, the study of this heart-brain coherence, they're saying when a person is in coherence, he gets or she gets so powerful. And if we get collectively in heart coherence, they are saying for a human being, it would be equivalent as the finding of a light in our world. Can you imagine what the lights had done for us? I mean, it
yes.
created this, what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine? It would be more powerful. Because in the way we're going about our life, mm-hmm. being conscious and being in coherence would make us so powerful in everything we do.
That's fantastic. So before we wrap, Dr. Salem, what is your advice for this new year, just if the takeaway or some steps for a better, healthier new year?
Honestly, can we really look at small things, starting teaching our children, just being conscious with their breath, conscious with their body, so they can make a better choice moment by moment? A choice is what is costing us so much. So let's choose right, let's breathe, let's be in coherence.
Fantastic. Let's all be in coherence,
yes.
Heart and brain. Thank
yes.
you so much, Dr. Salem Makrilu. It was such a pleasure to have you.
The same. Thank you for having me, my dear.
That was Dr. Salem Makrilu, CEO of First Chiropractic Clinic in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat, now to the Democratic Republic of Congo, where a woman has decided to rescue young mothers who are detained in hospitals over unpaid maternity bills. Take a listen.
3 weeks after giving birth to twins, 16-year-old Anael felt like a hostage. The hospital would not let her leave until she'd paid her medical bills. But she had no money. Then Grace Bonkiumek entered the maternity ward at Bethesda Clinic in Congo's capital, Kinshasa, and handed doctors a wad of bank notes, $130 to cover Anel's cesarean section.
So I came to free women and their babies who had been stuck for around 3 weeks. I had to pay a bill of around $130 because there is one who had paid in advance herself. And that's still considering the free maternity care law, which guarantees that these women benefit from free maternity care.
Anel's mother had been working as a cleaner in the clinic to pay for her daughter's cesarean section. Doctors would not discharge Anel until all fees were settled. Two other young women in the room were in the same situation.
This is why we are staying here. The doctor told us we had to until we had the money to pay. I myself am starting to sweep the hospital. I do maintenance for the hospital to have something to pay them. But yesterday, the doctor had informed us that there is a certain Madame Grasse who will come to free us.
Like most countries in sub-Saharan Africa, Congo does not have universal health coverage. President Felix Tshisekedi's government is currently ratifying a new law to make health services free for vulnerable population groups. Bethesda's head doctor, Emmanuel Mbopa, whose sister died in labor a few years ago because she was not able to afford hospital care, said keeping patients in was regrettable but necessary.
There are women who spend even 1 month here. Sometimes I even have to release some without having been paid. It is not the first time. It is also because we are here in a deprived district, and most of the girls who give birth here are near minors, 16 years of age. When you ask the question, "Where is your husband?" the answer is, "I do not know." Sometimes the husband has run foul of his responsibility because he does not work.
Umek, who owns shares in several security companies, was first made aware of the issue during an encounter with a United Nations official. Having had difficult pregnancies and expensive hospital-assisted births, the mother of four felt concerned and set up a foundation in 2017 to help. She can spend up to $3,500 on maternity ward bills in just 1 month.
As far as my objective is concerned, it's clear. I want this to stop. I want women in my country to give birth in good conditions and not be held hostage because they cannot pay.
When Umek paid, the ordeal was over. The young mothers thanked her, wrapped their babies in blankets, and made their way home.
Now, a 70-year-old woman in Uganda has given birth to twins after receiving fertility treatment, making her one of the world's oldest new mothers.
Namkwaya is not the oldest mom, as a 73-year-old woman in southern India gave birth to twin girls following IVF treatment in 2019. But she's not the oldest woman to deliver a baby at the hospital, whose founder is a prominent gynecologist in the East African region. Dr. Isaac Chebet explained that the new mom did have to use a donor egg, but that all tests had shown she was otherwise in good health.
The hospital, we also believe that age is just a number, but we have to go ahead and do the assessment. We started by doing the basic things. Number one, assessing her pressure. We have been monitoring her pressure all through, and it has been a normal pressure. Number two, we looked at also her sugar levels. Her sugar levels have been relatively normal. We went ahead and assessed other organs, the liver, the kidneys, and we noticed she was okay. She didn't have any issues with the back, so we noticed that she's able to carry the pregnancy.
Namkwaya could not afford the expensive fees herself, but the hospital director offered her free treatment.
What inspired me to give birth at my advanced age is that I had failed to conceive during my younger years, and I had no children of my own until I grew old. All the children I kept raising over the years, I had none, and when they grew up, they left me alone. That is why I decided to look for my own children.
Namkwaya's niece, who is named after her, is helping to look after the children amid reports that the new mom's partner is no longer living with her.
At first, I didn't believe it, and it took me a long time to believe that she could get pregnant and give birth. And when they told me, I didn't take it seriously.
But when she had the first child, then I started believing that she could now do it.
The new mom admitted that her life hadn't been easy so far, but said she believed God will take care of her little family. Namkwaya explained that the government had bought some of her land. She said she planned to use some of that money to start up a small business to provide a living for herself and her children.
Now to Cote d'Ivoire, where the first senior retirement home has been opened. Months later, the center is yet to see an interest from customers.
Located on the outskirts of Abidjan in Bingaville, this renovated spacious house, equipped with 7 adapted beds and staff trained in geriatrics, is still waiting for its future tenants.
What stops people who call us from coming to the retirement home is their fear of being judged. They're afraid on how others will look at them. What will my friends say? What will my family think?
A mechanical solidarity, according to Anna Dayoro, a sociologist and specialist in aging, in a country where, as elsewhere in Africa, respect for elders is a fundamental basis of social relations.
In the course of their lives and careers, they haven't always lived far from family members. So today, at a time when they are much more in need of family members, asking them to withdraw and go further away strikes them as something new and difficult.
In Atekobe, a working-class neighborhood in the west of Abidjan, two retired roommates sitting in the shade of a tree discuss their old age in their sunny courtyard.
When you've had children, they have to look after you until the day you go.
Ata Kowame's daughter, Emma Kofi, has been taking care of the two elderly ladies on a daily basis for 8 months.
It's tiring. Sometimes everything gets on your nerves. Sometimes I leave her in the house and say I'm tired. I leave her, I go out, and then after a while I return to look after her. My conscience tells me she's my mom after all. Sometimes I have to travel, but I can't. I'm always forced to stay because of her medication, because if she doesn't take it for 2 days, she can have an attack.
But cohabitation works for Henriette Bian at 74. She lives with one of her daughters and receives regular visits from members of her family.
I enjoy being with my children. If I'm there too, that's fine, but it depends on you, you know? It depends on how the place treats you, whereas at home, they'll tell me, Mom, what do you want? What's the matter? Why are you lying there?
The government launched a program in 2021 to provide financial and health assistance to some 200,000 elderly people, or a third of those over 65 in the country, who represent only 2% of the population, according to the World Bank. In Cote d'Ivoire, life expectancy is 57 years for men and 60 years for women. But this retirement home is only accessible to a wealthy minority of the Ivorian population. A one-day stay costs 35,000 francs, or around $57, half the minimum monthly salary.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Mudu in Washington, with producer Mukbil Yabaro. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturday. Saturdays and Sundays at